I'd like to preach on the subject, more of His Spirit. More of His Spirit. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Dear Lord, we ask this morning for your help. We ask for the Holy Spirit. We ask for His power and His presence to be with us. We ask that He enlightens us and opens our hearts and ears and eyes to the truth. God, I ask help for myself, that You'd have me to preach the Word in a way that'd be pleasing to You, and that those that are here to hear the Word of God would be receiving the Word of God. And Lord, take it into their hearts. And because of it, Lord, draw closer to You and be more of what You'd have them to be. I pray, God, that You'd bless Your Word. I pray, God, that You'd bless this church and bless every person that's here. I pray, God, for those who can't be here because of physical ailments, that You'd touch them this morning. Now, God, we just ask for Your help. And thank You for all the goodness. Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You for all the goodness and all the great things You've done. God, just have Your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. If you'll notice here, our Lord tells us to ask. Ask. And I'm afraid that many times we don't ask. He tells us to seek. But I think often, as Christians, we don't seek. He tells us to knock. And many times we're too busy to knock. We don't ask and seek and knock on His door like we ought to. Jesus said, for everyone that asketh, verse 10, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, it could be that maybe we do ask, but we ask amiss. In other words, we ask to consume it on our own lust, our own desires. Not necessarily what God wants, but what we want. We don't ask for things that are needful. We ask a lot of times for things that may not be needful. Jesus gives the illustration here, I've read it to you, of an earthly father toward his children. And even an earthly, he uses the term, if ye then being evil, even a man who's maybe not a good person, morally, he said, even an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children. So, if an earthly father gives good gifts to his children, how much more is our heavenly Father willing to give good gifts to his children? The problem is, again, we don't ask. The problem is, again, is we are self-sufficient. Isn't it a shame that God has to put us in a spot to get us to pray? God has to put us in a dilemma to ask and seek and knock. Prayer has sometimes been called asking and receiving. But in this text, Jesus is speaking of asking for the Holy Spirit. The Christian, the Bible says, has been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. God owns you. If you're saved by the grace of God, He owns you. And our body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Do you guys believe that? God the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. But I'm here to tell you this morning, we need more of His Spirit. We need more of His Spirit. Romans 15:13 tells us, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." We need to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is what is needed in our lives. The power of the Holy Ghost is what is needed in our lives. And in our churches, the power of the Holy Ghost. To have more of the Holy Ghost would be to be more like Christ. The less Christ-like you are, the less Holy Ghost you have. As we said in Sunday school, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." To be more like Christ means to have more of the Holy Spirit. And to have more of the Holy Spirit means to be filled with more joy, means to be filled with more peace, and it needs to be filled or to abound in hope. I have a hope this morning. Do you? I have a peace this morning. Do you? I have joy this morning. Do you? The Spirit of God is compared in the Bible to three powerful elements. It's compared to the wind. The wind is invisible, but it's useful. The wind can power a sailboat. The wind can power a windmill. The wind is useful and the wind is strong. We've had storms come through here that prove that the wind is very powerful. Well, the Holy Ghost is invisible, and He's useful, and He's strong. The Bible compares the Holy Spirit to water. And the water softens. You can take something that's firm and pour water on it, and it will soften sometimes. Water will soften. Water will soften hard men's hearts. The water of the Holy Spirit. Water will purify. Water cleans. It purifies. And water causes growth. The Holy Spirit causes Christians to grow. Then the Bible also compares the Spirit of God to fire. And fire, like water, it not only cleanses and purifies, it purifies completely. Fire gets out the impurities, doesn't it? You put fire to metal and it'll remove the dross. Fire purifies. The fire of the Holy Ghost purifies.
and it melts. Fire melts the hard hearts. God's able to get the job done. I just want to give you 3 points concerning this, more of the Spirit. Number one, the nature of the Holy Spirit. The nature of the Holy Spirit. Look, I'm going to have you turn a few times, so if please stay with me if you can. John chapter 3 and verse 8. John chapter 3 and verse 8. You're familiar with the passage. It's where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and the necessity of the new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 8. Jesus said this, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." I want to tell you one thing about the nature of the Holy Spirit. It is secret. You cannot discern it except by its effects. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effect of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God comes secretly, and He works secretly. As a matter of fact, He may be working in your heart right now, and nobody here knows anything about it. He works secretly. I want to tell you, not only does He work secretly, He's sovereign. Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." In other words, nobody tells the wind what to do. No one tells the Holy Spirit what to do. He's sovereign in His workings. You cannot control the Holy Spirit. You cannot command the Holy Spirit. He is sovereign. People think, well, I'm going to have a revival this year, and they stick a little red and white sign out in the front yard of the church and have a revival, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything, they don't have revival.
That's right.
They just have a sign out in the front that says revival. We need the Holy Spirit. He's sovereign. Thirdly, He's effectual. He's effectual. In other words, He changes the heart. The Holy Spirit does what man cannot do. The Holy Spirit does what the preacher cannot do. He changes the heart. He renews the will. He transforms the life. The Holy Spirit is sent into this world to accomplish the Lord's will and to answer His people's prayers, and He never fails. And then I want to tell you about the nature of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. In other words, He's omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. It is the power of the Spirit of God. Secondly, I want to remind you today our need of the Holy Spirit. The need of the Holy Spirit. Romans, if you would, turn to Romans 1, please. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We need the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 of Romans 1, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I want to tell you this morning that the gospel unaccompanied by the Holy Spirit is nothing but a dead letter. The gospel unaccompanied by the Holy Spirit is nothing but a dead letter. I can preach up here and I can hand out tracts and I can witness, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't get involved, it doesn't mean a thing.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit must convince sinners of their need of a Savior. He must convince sinners of their need of a Savior. Do you know much? I'm 58. Much gospel's been out in my lifetime. A lot of gospel has went out in your lifetime. It's went out on the radio. It's went out on the television. It's went out on tracks. It's went out on tapes. It's went out on CDs. It's went out on VCRs. It's went out on DVDs. A lot of gospel, a lot of books has went out. We're a gospel-rich nation. But I tell you what we've lacked. We've lacked the power of the Holy Spirit. There's been a lot of gospel, but not much power. A lot of gospel, but not much power. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 18, please. I think I counted this morning, Paul used the word power over 50 times in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now look over at chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not man's eloquence. It's not man's education. It's not man's wisdom. That's not what's needed.
Amen.
Now, if a man's educated, that's fine. If he's an eloquent speaker, that's great. If he's a wise person, that's wonderful. But I'm telling you, you can have all that, and if God the Holy Spirit doesn't pour out His power, it doesn't mean anything. So, it's the power of God that's needed. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can give the new birth. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can give the new birth. James chapter 1 says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The Spirit's power alone can raise the dead. I mean the spiritually dead. He could raise the physical dead too if He wanted to. But He could raise the spiritual dead. He could raise those dead in sins. He could open blinded eyes, blind to the gospel. He could open hard hearts and deaf ears. The Holy Spirit can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. All my pleading can't do that. The Bible says He opened Lydia's heart. He can open hearts. You and I may change a man's opinion, and he may even reform for a while, but only the Holy Spirit can quicken the soul.
Amen.
Only the Holy Spirit can quicken a man. I want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is the author of life-changing power. Power. Our churches today need the power. You and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. We ought to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that there were some who had a form of godliness, but they denied the power. They had an outward shell. They looked religious, but they didn't have the inward workings of the Holy Spirit. They denied the power. The Apostle told Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It's not enough just to have a form of godliness. Paul described this life-changing power in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. I'd like for you to turn there and read it with me. 2 Thessalonians and chapter, or 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, in chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. That's 1 Thessalonians for you Trump supporters. I never get tired of saying that. 1 Thessalonians. And verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Notice that. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse 9 says that you turned from God to idols to serve the living and true God. I want to tell you today that the power of God changes lives.
Yes.
Paul said, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God, because the gospel didn't come to you just in word. I'm afraid there's a lot of people the gospel's only come to in word. The gospel didn't come to them just in word. It came to them in power and in the Holy Ghost. And He changed their life. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. It makes Baptists nervous when you start talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm here to tell you today, we ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It makes Baptists nervous when you start saying we ought to pray for more of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, the Bible says we ought to have more of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Thirdly, I want to bring out the necessity of praying for the Spirit. The necessity of praying for the Spirit. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I've only got 3 points, so. We won't be here too much longer. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. This isn't strawberry shortcake and ice cream, folks. This is meat. This is meat today. We need the power of God. Our churches need the power of God. We ought to be, I'm not scolding you, but I doubt very few of you today prayed for me. We need the power of God. I'm ashamed to say I've mounted this pulpit and hadn't prayed for myself before. We need to pray for the power of God.
Amen.
Do you not care about your family? Do you not care about your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers? We need to be praying that God would do something. God, give us a burden. God, give us a burden for the lost around us. Give us a burden for our family, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our mothers, for our dads, for our brothers, for our sisters. God, give us a burden. We need the Holy Spirit. The necessity of praying for the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height,
and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to do, notice this. Hey, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God. Our earthly father could, my kids, there's hardly a thing, if my kids come to me and wanted help, there's hardly a thing I wouldn't do for them. I'm talking about God Almighty. When we ask and seek and knock, the Bible says in verse 20, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what our problem is? We just don't ask. We just don't seek. We just don't knock. The necessity of praying in the Spirit. We want to be, every Christian ought to want to be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that what it said? Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I've got to tell you though, if you're going to be filled with the fullness of God, you may have to empty yourself of yourself. We should desire more power, more of that power that's already working in us, the Bible says. I'd like to be like that illustration of the man that owned the chocolate factory. They said that when he'd go to the bank or he'd go to the grocer, he said he kept noticing that people got real close to him. And he'd turn around and there'd be somebody right on his shoulder. And the reason was he smelled like a giant Hershey bar. He had such a fragrance of chocolate on him that people just wanted to get close to him. Well, we ought to have a fragrance of Christ on us that people just want to, they desire to be around us. They may not understand what it is that's different about us, but there ought to be something about us that draws them in. We need to have the fragrance of Christ in our lives. Something different about us. The Bible describes Barnabas in the book of Acts as a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. How about that? You deadheads. Full of the Holy Ghost. I told you people get all shook up when you start talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. I think you ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. I think I ought to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Just because some people have abused something doesn't mean it's wrong. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. That should be our prayer. A church can have programs, it can have special meetings, it can have all kinds of services. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything, nothing's going to happen lasting.
That's right.
Nothing's going to happen. We have to have faith. We have to have faith. We have to have faith that God will do something. We have to have faith that God will do something. It's not enough just to say it. We have to believe it. There's no need for us praying for the lost and to send revival if we don't believe He will. We have to believe He will. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, the Bible says. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, He doesn't just pour out some, He pours it out till it's overflowing. He fills the sack and it's running out in the floor. He does exceedingly abundantly more. Again, our problem is we don't even ask.
We don't even knock. We don't even seek. Whose fault's that? It's not God's fault. It's our fault. We are 100% dependent on the Spirit of God, friend. We're 100. Listen, I love all of you. I'm glad we meet every Sunday and Wednesday. I'm glad we're a good family, a good church family. But I'm telling you, I'm not scolding you, but we need the power of God. We need to pray that God would pour out His Spirit. You think if every church in this valley and if every church in this country that preaches the Bible and teaches a true gospel, if they started praying for God to pour out His Spirit, what God might do? Our churches will not be healthy and they'll be dying without the Spirit of God. We should have a holy desperation for God to pour out His Spirit on a dry and thirsty land.
Amen.
We should have a holy desperation. I'll tell you what our problem is. The same problem the Laodiceans had. We're rich and increased with goods. And we don't think we need anything, but I'm telling you, we need God. We need God. One more place I want you to look. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us here that we are to be filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you today, we need the Spirit of God. Amen. We need His power. We need His witness in our lives. We need the Spirit of God in this church. We need the Spirit of God. Isaiah 64:1 says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow at thy presence." In other words, the prophet is saying, "Oh God, split the sky open and come down. Rend the heavens and come down. We need Him to come down. We need His power. We need it. We need Him to pour out His Spirit on this land and on our churches and on our pastors and preachers and on us as individuals." Jesus said this, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" How much more? How much more? Listen, folks. I want to see my loved ones saved. I want to see my neighbors saved. I want to see this community reach for Christ. I want to see revival come. I want to see our nation turn. You say, "I don't know if God will do that." Well, then don't bother, because I'm telling you, you got to have faith. It reminds me of the story of George Mueller. You remember George Mueller, who started the orphanages in Bristol? He was on a ship one time, and he had an engagement he had to be to by a certain time, and the captain said, "I'm afraid, Mr. Mueller, that we're fogged in, and there's no way you're going to make your engagement." And Brother Mueller said, "Well, let's pray about that." So they went down into the captain's quarters and they started praying. And Mueller started praying, asking God to lift the fog so he wouldn't be late to his engagement. And then the captain started praying, and George Mueller said, "Stop." He said, "You don't need to pray." He said, "For two reasons. Number one, you don't believe God will do it. And number two, God's already done it." They said that when they walked out on the deck of the ship, the fog had cleared. I'm just trying to tell you today, if you don't believe, there's no sense you even praying. If you don't believe God can save your loved ones, there's no sense you even praying. If you don't believe God can do a miracle, there's no sense you even praying. God, increase my faith. We need the Holy Spirit. He's mighty to save, isn't it? You know, some of us have been praying so long for lost loved ones, we gave up on them. What you need to do is get that old list off you had used to pray over and dust it off. You hear me? Dust it off. Start praying for him again. He's able. And he's mighty to save, isn't he?